Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday night edition of Your World, My Views. I'm your host, Mr. Thomas Peeping Tom Sotomayor. Yes, that's correct. I am the Supreme Court Justice of your world by dispensing to you my views. And I would like to thank you all for joining me tonight for the latest installment of Your World, My Views. Last week's show, we discussed non-traditional relationships versus traditional relationships. As a matter of fact, last Monday's show. And I can say that we had a great conversation, but we got opinions that vary from each side of the spectrum. I like to think that not only are open or non-traditional relationships just as viable, in a lot of cases, I believe that they may be more viable than regular relationships. And I also had a guest in studio, and that guest was my younger brother. And so I brought him back again for yet another episode of Your World, My Views. Mr. Ozzy, are you there?
You already know, man.
All right. Did you enjoy yourself last time in studio?
Indeed, I did. It was a different experience.
Right. What's wrong with that? Different experiences for different people. All right, now, what did you think about? Those are my views I just gave. I believe that basically they are just as viable or more viable. What would you like to let the audience know what you think about those types of relationships?
Well, as I discussed last week, man, you know, I said it's all good as long as it's benefiting me. Two for me is always better than two guys for a girl. That's the way I look at it. So stay in your lane, man. Stay in your lane.
Well, and we had a lot of fun things we talked about last Monday. And everybody doing the show now, everyone knows about me that I am a California liberal. And I walked into it thinking that I just look at it this way. I think a lot of people who are against non-traditional relationships, they have a hard time, in my opinion, getting their traditional relationships first. And they're usually derailed by, guess it, infidelity. So I don't understand why they have a problem with other people having swinger relationships, gay relationships, whatever relationships that they decide to have, when we can't even get these so-called traditional relationships in order. So that was my take on Monday's show. And I would like to welcome you all, because you are the loyal following in this show. And I would also like to let you know that this is the last Thursday show. And next week we have moved. The show has become so popular that they added another day. And they moved the format. Sure, yes, sir, they did. The new format is going to be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which means if you are in California, do not turn your radio on at 8 o'clock and try to call. Not what you do. If you are in Texas, do not turn your radio on at 8 o'clock and try to call. Got a few people online. I'm going to see what they're calling. A lot of people calling want to listen, so I'm going to call them back. Paula, you on the line. What are you calling for? You calling to listen or you calling to talk to me? 2531, you're on the line. You're not on the line. Alrighty then.
Hello?
2531, you're on the line.
Hello?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. I'll call in to listen at first.
All right. I will go ahead and listen and mute your phone. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Let's see. Let's answer another call here. Caller, 919, you're on the air. Are you calling to listen or are you calling to talk?
I'm calling to talk. How you doing? This is Harper.
Hey, Harper, how's it going?
It's going great. It's going great.
All right. Hey, let the audience know who you are again right quick. And I just want you to let them know how did the contest go for you last week?
Monday. My name is Harper on Facebook. It's F.A. Harper. But the easiest way to find my profile page is facebook.com/ AirHarp, AirHarp. The contest is still ongoing. It's not just a one-day thing. It has to go on for the rest of the month, and then there's stage two. But We'll worry about stage two if and when I get to stage two. It's a tough contest. There's a lot of people who have some great physiques and great videos. The contest is basically on bodybuilding.com. If you go to my profile page, I'll have a link. And it's basically, if I win, I become a spokesmodel for bodybuilding.com, and also I get a cover shoot for Iron Man magazine. For me, it's more or less just a culmination of events, because in 2003, I was 300 pounds. So now, here I am, and I can go from 300 pounds to a cover model physique, hopefully. I'm pretty close to it. All but right. That would just be a great accomplishment. And I just want to show people that they, too, can get themselves in order and make the changes in their life that they want to. I just want to be an inspiration to people.
All right. Well, everybody knows me. I'm a fitness nut, former BTS trainer. And, again, welcome you back to the show. Just wanted to let people know exactly the progress that you were making and the fact that they were actually making a difference by voting
yes.
for you and going to your site and making sure that you are trying to become that spokesmodel. Right now I'm going to get back a little bit into where we're going. Just want to inform you again that we are going to a new format next week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8 o'clock. And the phone number here is 347-989-8310. And also remember that you can catch the show live each day, each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday next week at www.blogtalkradio.com/ Thomas Sotomayor. And you can also now listen to the show live at www.yourworldmyviews.com. And the site was developed by Mrs. Renee Bishop. And I'm going to have Ms. Renee Bishop come in and talk a little bit about the work that she does, the work that she does for me, and the work that she's doing for another venture of mine called Sharing is Caring that I'd like to talk to you guys about. Renee, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Renee. Tell the people about what it is that you do.
Well, first of all, good evening. I create websites. I do web design, and I also help with marketing for small businesses primarily. I just do internet marketing. I also do direct mail campaigns and so forth and so on, and my company's name is Affordable Websites Plus. And my website is Affordable Websites Plus also.
Now, are your websites affordable? Well, I don't want to have no
yes.
misnomer on there. I don't want people calling me saying, this ain't affordable.
Well, they're affordable if you have money. That's one major requirement. American dollars,
okay.
please, no pesos.
Okay.
And my rates are listed on my website. They are basically standard rates, and I do have an asterisk, which means look for the other asterisk so that you know what the fine print is. But for basic websites, a typical three-page website, you're looking at about $200. That includes my designing the website. It also includes a year of hosting and your domain and your email.
Now, my young brother was looking for, I think he was looking, aren't you looking for a site built?
Yeah, you know, we got xentertainmentatl.com, man. So, you know, I might be getting in contact with you real soon.
Right.
Okay.
Now, Ms. Renee, you and I have a joint venture going on together, and we are doing Sharing is Caring, and it's going to be a site where people of what we spoke about last week, people really enjoyed the topic, and people really they really came out and wanted to talk about alternative lifestyles. And what we want to do is create a place where people who have life non-traditional, is what we want to call it, non-traditional lifestyles. And it's just going to be a site where people can meet and people can talk. And, again, you want to check it out. It's called www.sharingiscaring, and the caring is with a K, sharingiscaring.com. And what we're trying to do is build a place where people can just meet, greet, talk, and just experience other things that maybe they haven't experienced through the word and talking to each other and just going from there. Can you elaborate a little bit about the processes that we're going to have as far as getting the site up, how long it's going to take, and what can they expect from the site?
Okay, well, number one, as far as how long it's going to take, I don't know that as of yet. This was a brainchild that was birthed last night. So we're still in the preliminary stages as far as that's concerned. But right now I have a page just to park the domain and to let everybody know that it exists. It's not functional, as your Facebook page says. It's not functional, so don't try to log in or join or anything yet. But it's a site that we will have typical search functions for people to be able to search, and whatever your search criteria is that you would like to search by. There will also be chat features, video uploads, what else, photos, and there will be some standard things that we will have as requirements, which may be atypical for most of your other dating websites, but I think that it will enable people to get more honest results from their searches, and hopefully it will be a little bit classier.
Exactly.
Than some of the other websites that are out there.
Because, see, I myself am a classy freak. Pretty freaky, but I'm real classy with it.
This guy.
Like, I will have sex in the barnyard, but I'll have my Stacey Adams on. So I'm classy.
Oh, okay. But will you have the hay directly under your butt?
I will have it there. It will be under the scrotum, because you have to know where to hold them.
This nigga said he got his chaps on.
Yeah, oh, yes, yes. We got to have a good nice pair of chaps. Now, what we want to do is let them know how they can get to your page from my page if they want to contact you that way, or you can give them your number and let them know how they can contact Miss Renee Bishop.
Well, you can just call me Renee. I'm a northerner. I just live in the South. But the website is affordablewebsitesplus.com. My phone number is 678-791-668. And I guess you can post something on your on your page to link or whatever. But I do have a Facebook page also, which would be, you know, facebook.com/affordablewebsitesplus, no doubt.
Good deal. All right. Well, Ms. Renee, thank you for joining in. You continue to keep listening. I'm going to continue with the show and probably get back with you a little bit later just to finish everything off.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, now see, you got you somebody that can talk to you a little bit about your website, young brother.
Hey, but I'm gonna have a real problem if I hit her up and she ain't affordable as she say. We gonna have some issues.
Well, let's just hope she's as affordable as she say she is. Let's just go from that. She's pretty affordable. She's built my sites and I've really enjoyed them. Now, again, the number here is 347-989-8310. And the show is Your World, My Views. My name is Thomas, Peepin' Tom Sotomayor for the day. And I can promise you, if you invite your friends, invite anybody else to listen, this here is the funnest show on Internet radio. And our topic for today is going to be the D.C. Sniper. He was put to death Tuesday night at 9:11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I'm wondering, what do you think about it, as well as your thoughts on the death penalty in general? Now, again, that number is 347-989-8310. And you guys can call in at any time just to talk about pretty much whatever. I kind of love the fact that we get into whatever. But I just want to get into some news right now. The lines are lit up, though. So I'm just going to pick up a call right quick and see what happens. Caller 8928, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm just listening.
Oh, you just want to listen. Okay, just mute your phone and listen. Were you able to listen before I picked you up?
Yes.
All right, good deal.
You in the bathroom, girl?
Bathroom. She waiting on that alternative lifestyles session of the show. All right, go on ahead. Don't hurt nobody while you're in there. All right, what I'm going to do is go ahead. I'm going to get into a little bit of the news right now. Brother, you ready for the news?
Let's do it.
And now, it's the news with your host, Thomas Stone. Neumeier.
Thank you, everybody. First, oh Lord, Jesus, a couple of news off, man. First, we were talking last week about Cat Williams. And Mr. Cat Williams looked a hot mess. Did you see the picture, bro?
I seen him, bro.
Lord Jehovah Jireh, he looked a mess. All right, Cat Williams, they said, actually was not stealing. He actually was living at the home and permission by the owner. And apparently one of the housekeepers or somebody saw him at the house and saw him with the jewelry and the crowbar and thought he was stealing. Now, let me ask you something, brother. If you caught somebody in your house with a crowbar and your jewelry, even if you let them stay there, what would you think?
I'm busting all kind of heads.
All right. I'm kind of figuring that still looks like a criminal act. I could be wrong, but that's the way they're spelling it right now, because it did seem kind of silly that you would have a $40,000 bond over $3,000 worth of jewelry.
It's a little coonery.
It really is. Black folks behaving buffoonishly. Anyway, tonight, for all you people who want to know anything about sports, we got the Bears versus the 49ers tonight on NFL Network. The game come on at 8:20, but you will not be watching it until about 9:30. Let's get back to some more news. Can Shelby share with you, young brother?
Yeah.
I'll let you.
And now, in the news. Sorry, Thomas
Stuhlmeier. All right, thank you, everybody. All right, here we go. Lou Dobbs. You know who Lou Dobbs is, young brother?
No, who is he?
Lou Dobbs. He's been an anchor at CNN for nearly 30 years. He quit his job yesterday.
He was about to get his pension, wasn't he?
I'm assuming so. Not only did he quit his job, he did it like a G. Let me tell you how he did it. You see how I'm talking right now?
Yeah.
Now imagine if I just said, and this is going to be my last show.
Well, why he quit, though?
He's real conservative, and he probably need to be on Fox News, to be honest. But he was just on the air, and he said, you know, he might as well just said, I'm sick of y'all. Because he was just talking, and he's like, you know what, I'm really, this is going to be my last show, and I'm going to be doing some other stuff. I'm probably going to be at another radio or television station that's better than this one. I mean, I was like, are they not going to cut this dude off? They just going to let him talk like that? And I guess you don't really know what to do because he lies, so you're just hoping he don't just start cussing.
Yo, that's G. So pretty much he quit and gave his shout-outs to his new locations at the same time.
Yes, he did. He said, you can catch me on Facebook. I was like, wow, he just advertising everything he doing. But you know what, though, you know what the funny thing is? I love how celebrities either they quit or they get fired. Because think about it like this. You're a football coach. They fire you. What's the next thing you have to do after you get fired?
I don't know.
You have to hold a press conference. Now imagine if you worked at Walmart, Kroger, and they fired you and then put it on TV.
Yo, that would be G. Could you imagine, like, Lil Larry from the stock room in Publix?
And on Channel 5, they say, you know, Larry has been fired from the stock room in Publix because he was stealing
boxes.
He was stealing the ramen noodles. He said boxes of ramen noodles was missing. Larry got them. He's been fired. And then Larry get home, and his girl's like, you fool. You stealing ramen noodles again? So she know he couldn't even lie about what happened. You know, because we lie about how we got fired. If the man did it. But no, it's all on the news. And then the next day they make him hold a press conference. Larry, you got the cameras flashing in the background. We got a question over here back there in the corner. Larry, was it true that you stole the ramen noodles?
Man, no. That wasn't even me, man. They said they caught me on tape, but I was on my lunch break.
But Larry, they do have the tape right here. They have you on tape. And there is a big tattoo around your neck that say, Larry is just that real. Now, is that you?
Man, anybody could have had that tattoo. No compliment.
Sir, don't you mean comment?
No, whatever. You know what I'm talking about.
All right, Larry, we got another question back here in the back. This person right here from Peachtree TV. Larry, we're just wondering. What is going to be your next move after Publix has let you go? Oh, what do you think you're going to go next?
Man, I don't know. You know, Walmart called me a couple of times, man. You know, I might go to the big lots, you know what I mean? But you can catch me any day on my Facebook, on my Twitter, Larry Steals This at Facebook.com.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Think about it. Imagine if they did that to regular, everyday people. You know how many people get killed? You don't embarrass me enough by firing me. Mm-hmm. Now you got to have me at a press conference? Anyway, but Lou Dobbs is out, so I guess they're going to bring somebody else to kiss Obama's rings onto the show. But anyway, let's go on to the next little bit of news.
And now, with the news, starring Thomas Stallmeyer.
Love it, love it. All right, little brother, you know who Kerry Prejean is?
Kerry who?
Prejean, look like Prejean.
Parmesan?
Something like that. Well, she is the defunct Miss California, the defunct Miss California who made a fool out of herself on Larry King. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, I know who Larry King is with them thick caterpillar eyebrows.
All right. Well, first, she went on an interview at The View where she told everybody where she was releasing a book called Still Standing.
Mm-hmm.
Why did I just advertise that? Anyway. She says she's also a victim of free speech violation. People, I'm going to inform you. First off, let me tell you, in America, speech is free.
Indeed.
But the response can be costly.
Elaborate.
All right. You can say whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You can run in a, run in a movie theater. And yell out fire. You can do that. You just will be arrested for endangering other people. You can walk up to your girl or a girl and call her whatever name you want. You just might get slapped. You can go to your job and cuss everybody out. You just might get fired. You can have free speech. That just doesn't mean that people are supposed to go along with whatever you say and still treat you the way that they treated you before you said it. Now, what she did was she got on, and in fact, she was kind of set up, but the little gay dude, Perez Hilton,
yeah.
He is. I mean, the dude up there crying because Kanye West said something to him or something. He on TV crying. He wasn't even on TV. What was that at? It's like on YouTube or something, just crying. He said I was a girl or something, and just crying about it. I think he brushed up against him and hurt and broke his heels on his shoes or something. Anyway, Perez Hilton asked her about gay marriage, and all she said was, you know, I think marriage should be between a man and a woman. Well, all of a sudden, she became Miss Against Gay Marriage and Heterosexual Marriage proponent, and she was running around and doing whatever, and Miss Christian, and I always tell you, I love the Christians, but watch out for them. They're real hypocritical. What did she do? They found out that she had nude pictures of herself. That's a violation of the pageant.
Where they at, though?
They online. I tell you, I'm going to put them on my page after this. Everybody's going to see it. They had new pictures of her, though. Then, this was funny. Do you know that they actually had to, they paid $5,500, the pageant did, for her breast implant?
Yo, that's boss.
That's what I'm saying. They paid $5,500 for her breast implants. Nice thing to do, I guess. So, she's Miss Christian. She's Miss Saved. Yeah, she's getting breast implants, nude photos, and now they found out that she has a sex tape.
Everybody got one of them.
I'm about to say, who don't have no sex tape?
That looked like a MySpace page.
It's kids running around with sex tapes, man.
Whoa.
It is ridiculous. Anybody and everybody got a sex tape. People that shouldn't be having sex, and I done seen some of them.
I'm only watching 21 and up sex tapes.
No, I'm the who is having sex with this 300-pound person nobody knows, but they got a tape. And it's just amazing to me. But she is upset, and she got on Larry King and stormed out because Larry King kept asking her because she had a basically had a lawsuit against the pageant, was trying to sue them for discrimination, religious discrimination, until they brought up the sex tape, and then all of a sudden it got dropped. So Larry King was asking her the question, and she kept saying, well, Larry, you're being real inappropriate. And he asked her again. She said, Larry, I done told you. You being it. I done told you being inappropriate. So Larry looks at the camera and say, We'll be back with Inappropriate Larry King Live. I said the old man still got it. He still got his wits about himself. But Larry, like 98 with 2 year-old kids.
Wow.
That's an old fella, though. I hope I better do it like that. Well, and we're going to do one more piece of news, but this piece of news is kind of scaring me. So I'm not even going to do it like that. I'm just going to say it like this. There was a woman on Oprah Winfrey yesterday, and the woman said she got her face tore off, not by Nicolas Cage or John Travolta.
Face off?
I'm just saying.
You going to hell.
No, she got her face tore off by a pet chimpanzee.
Like Bubbles? Like Michael Jackson's
like Mike,
Bubbles?
Yeah, you ever wonder why Mike got rid of Bubbles? Because Bubbles probably started acting up. Bubbles reached at his face. Mike said, he got to go. I got to pick up these little boys because Bubbles is wild.
Rest in peace, Michael Jackson.
You know, Mike, love you, but you had Bubbles. You used to walk around with him, and you stopped. And I guess you saw what was about to happen. The black came out of Mike. Because, see, if you notice, I've seen the news a lot. I watch the news, love the news. But Miss Nash had her face ripped off. She had her hands, her lips, and her eyes ripped off by a pet chimpanzee.
Yeah, it was pretty gross. Like it was not a good look. Like on Oprah,
Then Oprah just starting stuff. I had a sandwich in my hand. I had some guacamole and some chips, and I had a big old glass of orange juice. Watching Oprah, and Oprah says, "Could you lift the veil off?"
What it looked like?
Man, ooh. That's all I can say. When she took the veil off, needless to say, the guacamole, the chips, and the sandwich was all returned to sender. I had to turn it off. Now, here's my problem. I understand I feel bad for the person, but I kind of don't feel bad. And you say, why you don't feel bad? What you doing with a 200-pound pet chimpanzee? Where you get that at? I've been to PetSmart. I ain't never seen that. These people who get killed and bit by certain things, you can't feel bad for them. He got a 30-foot python in his house, and somehow he didn't make it to work the next day. You get there, and the python ate him, and they mad at the python for doing what the python normally would do.
Yeah, I understand that. You can't get mad for a wild animal. You can't get mad at a wild animal for being wild.
But they do. Siegfried and Roy had them white tigers. What happened? That tiger slapped all the ass off Roy. All of it. They mad at the tiger. Don't put the tiger on trial. Tiger up there, the judge Ito to asking him questions.
Oh,
but this doesn't make any sense. But if you notice, there's one factor about this whole thing that always prevails. You don't see, how can I say it? You don't see no, dadgummit. How can I say this? You don't see the chocolate people. No.
Don't play that.
No, they don't see any color. You don't see no colored people. Is that it?
No.
African Americans?
Yes.
Okay. No, you don't see no niggas. I'm just telling you. You don't see them with no crazy animals like that. You don't see us walking around with no giraffe in the backyard trying to avoid something. They think, you know, the giraffe done bit all your neck off.
All of it.
Oh, who has that? I'm sorry, but you got a chimpanzee? I'm a little off to that. And then rest in peace to the soldiers that got killed over in Fort Hood. That's some messed up stuff. They had the crazy Muslim man that ran through and did the shooting. You know, that's just messed up. I don't even know how to say that. I ain't got no joke about that, even though it was at Fort Hood. I'm just going to leave it there. Anything could happen at Fort Hood, I'm just saying. And speaking of, I'm just saying, I put up something the other night. I don't know if you read it. Did you read it?
No, I did not. I didn't catch it. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, I'm just saying, you know, it's a segment I have used at night. And just ask a question, kind of a perplexing question or a question that asks itself. My I'm just saying was, if you know that your girlfriend looked better than you, then why are you acting surprised that I bought her a drink and not you? Shouldn't you be surprised? Shouldn't you be used to finishing second? I mean, I'm just saying. Well, what do you think about that? If you walk up, and this was funny. I was getting a lot of people, a lot of aisle people, and I'm just going to leave it at that. A lot of chocolate women.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, the dude is cheap,
because he won't buy her and her three friends a drink.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm not cheap. I'm not cheap at all. But I'm not going to pay for something that I'm not potentially looking at or thinking about getting.
Well, I told him. I said, well, okay, that's fine. Well, whenever I meet you and you say, ooh, I'm going to go home from the club and give you some head, I'm going to say, hold on. You seen me come here with them three other dudes. You see my homeboys over there. That would be rude of you to just do it to me. Why is it that the same women who claim that niggas is broke, they broke?
Yeah, I've come to that conclusion a long time ago, brother.
I'm telling you, it just reminds me of that commercial, and it's the way that they look at us. That commercial was sad when the man walk up on the woman at the bus stop. They both at the bus stop, and he said, can I get your number? She said, for what? So we can both ride the bus together? Ha, 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 ha. Then it said 10 months later, he came back in a nice car, looked like an Audi TT. Now, I don't know what he did in 10 months to get no Audi TT. First off, he wasn't at no Westwood College. I would tell you that now. And he was off of Auburn Avenue. He was somewhere. He wasn't in the Westwood, first off. But he came back in an Audi TT in a suit, and the same woman was at the same bus stop. And he said, now can I get your number? And she jumped in the car. He looks at the camera and says, Omnitech, that's what's up.
Shout out to Omnitech.
Yes, first off, Omnitech, you owe me for that. I done said your name two times. And Westwood College owe me, too.
We need to check.
But I couldn't believe that. I'm telling you, the way that they portray black folks, and that's the way we act. When they were putting that stuff on there, all the women on the page were saying, the man is cheap. No, y'all cheap, because y'all should have had a drink when I walked up on you, number one. Number two, y'all cheap, because y'all friends, and you won't even sit there and buy your friend no drink. So I'm supposed to buy a chick I don't know a drink?
But as soon as independent women come on in the club, they up, heels off, hands
yes.
up.
If you're so independent, as soon as I offer you a drink, if you know you don't like me, you're supposed to say, no, sir, I don't need your drink. And I don't offer no drink. I wait till you're good and sauced up before I walk up to the bar anyway. I sit in the background scoping them out. They ain't drunk yet, dog. Just stay right here. They still drinking.
Hell nah.
But then, the cheetahs hump day was funny. We talked about what's the funniest situation that you ever found yourself in involving getting cheated on. I just remember one story. Dude, the story was funny. And I can't remember who it was that wrote it. I should have done. I want to give her some shouts out, but she knows who she is. She said that what happened was she was driving around. She knew her boyfriend was getting off work at 1 o'clock in the morning, and he wouldn't be back home until 1, about 1:30. So she went out on a date. And, of course, you can tell us that you got a man because we don't care. So she had a boyfriend, the other dude, and the dude was driving her home. It was about 11 o'clock. She said they drove around the house twice just to make sure there was nobody home. She said he drove in the driveway to drop off, and, like, as soon as they got there, her man jumped off from behind the bushes.
What?
And she jumped off and tried to stop him. And I guess he was trying to go at the dude in the car, so the dude in the car just drove. He smashed out. So the dude threw a Snapple bottle and busted man's glass. Where they do that at, man? Who hide in bushes, number one? You too grown for that. And two, what was you doing with a Snapple bottle?
The bush is drinking a Snapple.
Was he on a stakeout? I'm like, man, he was real serious about that. First off, she need to step her game up with a cheating game because he knew not to go to work. He was waiting. Second off, why do people fight the dude that's cheating on you, that's messing with your girl?
I guess you can't, you're mad, you're frustrated. You've been taken for a fool. You can't just Chris Brown her.
No, that's what you should be doing. Men, I'm telling you, this is my advice to you. Don't fight him. You might lose. Fight her. You have a better chance of winning.
Hold on. I'm laughing, people. I'm laughing, but it ain't funny. I'm just saying.
You know what the worst thing about fighting a dude that been messing with your girl? He done F'd your girl up, and they done F'd you up. That's messed up. You can't even show your face nowhere. This dude done beat you and your girl.
You've been incorrect on both accounts.
Yes, so you might as well beat her. Since you got a better chance. I believe in fighting a fight I can win.
I don't support it. I can't. All my beautiful ladies, I love you.
I'm trying to fight a fight I can win. You done messed me up. I'm going to mess you up, dadgummit. All right, what I'm going to do, again, the topic, everybody, the topic of the night is, I'm going to try to get into something serious. The topic is what happened in D.C. The D.C. sniper, Wesley, he went out, and you know what he did to everybody, and they put him down. He had the little young boy with him. So the question is, what do you think about the man, the D.C. sniper, who was put to death at 9/11, which is an odd time, oddly enough, 9/11 on Tuesday night. What do you think about him being killed, put to death, and what do you think about the death penalty in general? I'm going to pick up a phone call right now. Caller 6993, you're on the air. Who am I talking to? Hello? Caller 6993, you're on the air.
They don't want to talk. They don't want to talk.
Oh, Lord, they just saw what they're doing. Got a lot of phone calls here. Caller 2531, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. What do you want to talk to me about?
Okay. Before we get to the main topic, first I want to say to Renee, I'm glad that you had her on the air and gave out her information because that's really good because there's some people who are looking for someone to do their website.
Mm-hmm.
To Lou Dolls and Larry King, enough said, we're going to leave that alone. Three, the animals. I don't feel sorry for anyone that's got wild animals.
Indeed,
I was in college with a girl whose boyfriend wouldn't come to our house, and she said why, and I told her she was a fool, so enough said on that. The club thing, I would not let anybody buy me a drink unless I knew them. If I didn't know them, they wouldn't buy me a drink if I knew where it was going.
All
right. That's just me. Now, the D.C. sniper, I don't feel sorry for him, and the reason is because my sister not only lived in that area, but was working in that area when all this was going on.
Mm.
So, I mean, I'm kind of 50-50 for the death penalty, but in his case, I'm sorry, he deserved the death penalty. That's just the way I feel.
Okay. You said you're not sure about the death penalty. You don't know if it's something
It just depends, but I know something for a fact, like in his situation where he knew what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, this was really planned. What he did was planned. So I don't feel sorry for him.
Okay. Who am I speaking with?
Richard Dean.
Hey, Richard Dean. How you doing? I like it when you call. Yeah,
yeah, I called earlier.
Oh, you called earlier and I hung up on you?
Yeah, I was the first person.
That's what I do. I be hanging up on folks.
Well, you didn't hang up on me. I wanted to listen at first.
Oh, you did. Okay. Well, I'm going to put you back on, let you listen. Thanks for the call. I'm the same way about that. Let me ask you, young brother, before I even give you my opinion. You know I always wait to the end. What's your opinion on death penalty?
It all depends on what it's about, man. You know what I mean? If you're getting the death penalty, I guess you've done something worth getting the death penalty for. So in that case, I agree. Like, most of the time you've taken somebody else's life unjustly. So I feel go ahead and nuke them. I think you should make it more painful. What I really think is if you stab somebody and they die, if you shoot somebody, they die. If anything that you do to somebody and they die, I think the same thing should be done to you until you die. You should be put in the same pain that you put that other living human being in before you killed them.
All right. Well, young girl, I'm going to take another call. We got a call. Caller, you're on the air, 3190. Caller, you there?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
You're on the air.
Can I speak to Isley?
Yo, what up, though? Who is this?
Felisa.
Oh, what
hey.
Up? Hey. What up, though?
This is good. I'm proud of you.
Calling in.
But no, look, I want to answer.
Uh-huh. Go ahead.
I don't agree with the death penalty at all.
And why is that?
Because I don't feel like we as people should have the power to take someone's life, even though it is wrong for whatever it is that they do, killing somebody or whatever. I just don't feel like we should be able to do that. I mean, I had this conversation like a few days ago, but I just don't agree with it at all.
Well, brother, what do you feel about this? Give her your opinion on what's going on here.
Well, you know, I like to hold off until the end before I give my views on the thing, but I do like to ask a few questions. And if you're going to say that you don't believe in a certain thing. Can you tell me why you don't believe in it?
I just don't feel as if right. Like, it's not in the Bible. Like, in the First Testament, it is. You know, they did stone people. They did kill people. But we're not living in that age. And if we're going to live by the First Testament in the Bible, we got to live everything by that, which we don't go by that.
Get them.
We don't.
Get them.
Well, I mean.
We don't go by that. I
don't think they're saying the death penalty is because of the Bible. I don't think they're enacting the death penalty because of the Bible. They're enacting the death penalty because the public wants that as retribution for what you've done.
Exactly, yeah.
So
there's holy people, right, that agree with the death penalty. How can you be so-called, quote-unquote, holy and you living for God and you think like that? To me, that's not right. Because, like, when that person died and when you die, I honestly don't feel like God is going to be like, I appreciate you actually wishing death upon this person because they did bad to you. I mean, no. If somebody was going to kill my mom, my dad, my family, I'm not going to sit there and wish death upon them. I've had people in my family kill. Okay, it's not up to me. It's up to God, and I leave it up to God.
You kill my mama, you kill my daddy. You better be. You better hope the people call and catch you first.
Well, first off, thank you for giving me a call, for giving the show the call. Keep listening. And keep calling in. But I want to say that I don't like, this is my personal opinion, and this is coming from the son of pastors. I don't really like the argument of the Bible, and especially when it's brought up in the wrong situation. And that was the wrong situation to be bringing it up, or the wrong instance, because the people who are enacting it are not saying that they're holy. So you can't hold them to that standard. They're not saying they're saved. The guy who's pulling the trigger, the guy who, the governor of the state, none of them are saying we're holy people.
Mm-hmm.
So her argument kind of falls a little short. I'm going to answer the another line. Caller 6976, you're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing, Thomas? It's Harry from Georgia, bro.
King of Hill, what's going on? You a wild
what's
fella.
What's going on, mate? Boy, you know you wild. I was listening to you earlier, boy. You had me rolling on that. If you buy the girl a drink and you got to buy all of them a drink, then if you getting head, then all my niggas got to get it.
You can't just put one of us head, I'm just telling you. But that don't work.
Boy, you had me rolling on that one, bro. I'm telling you. But I was calling in about that D.C. sniper thing, bro.
What you got to say about Wesley?
Well, me, myself, personally, I don't. Like, it's a situational thing on that death penalty. Like brother was saying earlier, man, I think that the same way you kill somebody else is the same way that you take your ass out. I personally would have felt like myself, just let him go, because I'd have sniped his ass right at the gate. I'd have hit him dead in the forehead, bro. I mean, real talk. As soon as he got out the gate, I'd have put one in the head, bro. I'm telling you.
You know,
I would have just gave a whole, huh?
No, you know what they just done, though? Just line up some real hardcore rednecks on
85
yeah. 30-odd rifles. And
yeah.
Let it run down there.
And let it rip.
Take shots at them.
Let it rip, bro. Because, I mean, you gotta be thinking about the family of these people that this man has killed. I mean, people ain't no longer here.
Yep.
And, I mean, I don't know about it. Me, myself, I hold a lot of stuff. You know what I'm saying? I can't just let stuff slide like that. You killed somebody in my family, bro. I can't just let it slide. Okay, the government took you out. I don't find it, Danny. But I wish it was another way that the actual members of the family could have did something to
yeah.
fucking buck 40 before he died. You know what I'm saying?
Think about it this way.
Yeah.
He shot your uncle in the chest. Your uncle died 13 hours later from just agony.
Yeah. Pain.
Mom in the neck, but he got to go to sleep.
Quickly. I mean, no pain, no nothing. He taking a nap.
and maybe
he didn't experience any pain before he left this earth, which I think is absolutely
ridiculous.
Unjust right there. Yeah, it just make my whole ass ball, bro. I'm telling you.
and what the hell is humane? What are they saying? They got to be a humane death.
Yeah. What is that?
Dying.
What is humane? What is that?
Then don't kill me. Let me live. If you so humane, let
yeah,
me
all
live.
Of a sudden, he got rights now. All of a sudden, now, all the things that he done did to take away other people's lives, and they were living, messed up so many people's family, and now all of a sudden his rights matter. Is humanity matters? Are you serious?
I'm telling you, Harry, they better never let us run for nothing.
I know that's right. I bet not had to say, boy, what did Robert Harris say? I pull the plug, I be pulling the switch all day. Won't even take no lunch break.
Thank you for calling me, man. I'm going to pick up some more calls because the lines are full, so I'm going to pick up some
all
more calls.
All right, man. Do what you do, bro. All
right, bro.
Yeah.
Let's pick up another call here. Let's see. 3190, you're there? Hello?
We hear your fire alarm, man. We know you're there.
Yeah. 3190-678, caller, you're on the air. Caller, you just got canceled.
Change your fire alarm battery.
What's up with these people, man? What's the thing? We got another caller. Caller, 440283, you're on the air.
Hey, it's me, Sabrina. I'm just listening.
You just listening, Brina. What do you like what you're hearing so far?
Huh?
You like what you're hearing so far?
Yeah. I mean,
what do you think about the death penalty?
What I think about the death penalty?
Yes.
I think it's not a man.
What, you think a woman should do it?
No.
My bad. Who do you think is up to then? What do you think we should do with the person who goes out and he mass murders like 55 people? What do you think we should do?
No, I think in rehabilitation, I do. I think everyone should be given a chance.
To come back on the street?
Hell no. But I think he should be given a chance. The D.C. sniper, I don't think. I think he should have just gotten life in prison.
So
I mean, how are we different from him?
We don't go around sniping people.
Okay, but the end of sniping is death, right?
Indeed,
yes.
So he's dead. He killed people, they're dead. How are we different? What are we teaching? Nothing.
To stop sniping, I guess.
Are we going to give you lethal injection?
I mean, there's only two things we could do to, I guess, stop sniping. You can either give him the lethal injection and say, hey, this is what happened if you snipe. Or you can ask Dora the Explorer to come out and give a public service announcement with the little fox and say, sniper, no sniping, and hope that it just stops.
I'm wondering, like, what life in prison, y'all, is that like a walk in the park? I don't know. I've never been incarcerated before.
That gives you a full life. You cut people's life short. For the lady that he killed and shot in the neck, she'll never see her grandkids. She'll never be a grandmother. If she wasn't one already, she'll never be a grandmother. So I believe in cutting his life short. Cut him up. Cut him off. Cut him whatever.
Sabrina, you just all nice and friendly. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Be nice, be friendly. But I feel what you're saying, and it is a touchy subject. I'm going to go ahead and let you go back and listen, but I understand what you're saying, and it's a touchy subject. I'm going to answer another phone call. We got a lot of calls in on this one. Caller 281, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello, caller.
Hey.
Hey, who am I speaking with?
This is Lady Cat.
Ooh, Lady Cat.
How you supposed to?
What'd you say, babe?
Hello?
I can't hear you. You need batteries.
I think there's a delay.
Huh?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but you're not saying anything.
Okay. I'm just listening.
Oh, you just want to listen. All right, I'll let you look. What do you, just give me something real quick. What do you think about the death penalty?
I don't.
You don't?
I don't. I mean, hey.
Oh, Lord. No, Lady Cat, I'm going to put you on. I'm going to put you back on and let you listen. I got to pay a couple bills, and then I'll be right back. Maybe you can think of something on the death penalty. How about that?
I'll try.
All right, y'all. Thank you for listening to Your World, My Views. I'm your host, Thomas. We're going to pay a couple bills, and we're going to come back. And everybody that's on the hold, stay on hold. We're going to get you on here very soon. And, brother, I don't know what to say. She says she has no opinion.
Oh, well.
That's just wild.
Hey, it is what it is.
We'll be back oh, God, we'll be back. $5 first loan. $5
home of the famous $5 footlong, like our fresh toasted Black Forest ham with cheese and our newest $5 footlong, the fresh delicious chicken pizziola. $5 footlongs all day, every day.
It's the money you could be saving with Geico. Even after this commercial ends, he'll be here waiting. He just wants you to save money.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Personally, I really do. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth.
Okay, so like some child knock your tooth, some child knock your child tooth out, you gonna go to school and knock theirs out?
I'm gonna try not to.
You just said you believe in the eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Now we got to somebody got to be some snaggle tooth kids up in that school.
Within reason, I think let the punishment fit the crime.
All right, I got to ask this because I haven't got to it yet. And we're towards the end of the show, so I just got to ask it. What about when we kill the wrong person? Does anybody ever have that fear that we kill the wrong person? That
most definitely. Because people can be set up.
But it's just oh well?
No, it isn't oh well. The death penalty is a serious penalty. Death is final. But in a lot of... Well, I don't want to say a lot of cases, those heinous crimes like, you know, people, was it serial killers, rapists, people eating other people's corpses, just people that are just mentally disturbed, schizophrenia, no matter, they're not able to be rehabilitated, you know what I mean? They're not able to be made well again, to be put back into society, to function with the rest of us, and I just,
so
you got to get rid of them.
Who do you think should be the ultimate judge on that? Because I'm going to get into something, and people haven't been able to get into it, and we're probably going to get into it deeper in the after show. What about the fact that there are a lot more, the death penalty is enacted a lot more upon blacks than amongst the other races, and women make up the lowest percentage, even though they, too, do violent crimes. Does that not sound like it's not, that doesn't sound like justice to me. If it's not enacted upon in the same situations, that someone's being able to judge that, well, this guy can live because you can rehabilitate him, or this woman, we don't want to put her to death because it seems weird to kill a woman, so we won't do that. Or, you know, this black dude with the cornrows in his head, we got to kill him.
I say murk them all. I don't care. That's just
my situation.
Go ahead, babe. I'm sorry.
You're absolutely right. Our justice system is definitely not objective. I mean, when you think about blacks being tried in court and the jury supposedly consisting of their peers is definitely not their peers.
Exactly.
Not in the same tax bracket or education, culture, anything. But like I said before, that part of it, I think is unfair. We have to watch the way in which we judge our people. We have to make it, you know, hey, if it's their peers, let it really be their peers. Let all the evidence be shown. Some evidence never makes it into court. I don't understand that. That's totally unfair.
Exactly. I don't understand any of that stuff either, but I know I'd love to be a lawyer just to be walking around.
And you would make a good lawyer.
Yeah, because all I do is argue. But you ain't supposed to be putting my business out there like that. Now I'm about to put mute you. Bye.
Bye.
See, you got folks that are putting your business in the street. Dadgummit. Caller 8148. You are on the air.
Hey, what's going on?
What's happening? Who am I speaking with?
Hey, this is Reese. What's going on, Ivan?
What's going on, Bob?
Oh, chilling, man. I'm sitting there listening to y'all clowning, man. Y'all fool.
what's your thoughts on the topic?
Well, I think, man, I kind of agree with what Buddy said earlier, man. I think that they should just take it back to the old school, man, and let the family members of the deceased victims just have their way with dude. I mean, just take an old school straight up and down beat down to him. You know what I'm saying?
Talking about some Wu-Tang, just sew your asshole up and just keep feeding you and feeding you.
Yeah, just an old school straight up beat down, because, you know, you'll think twice about doing something again. You know, think back when you did something wrong and your parents got on you.
Yeah.
You down real good. You think twice about doing something again, right? Ain't it?
Yeah, we got a couple of beat downs.
Yeah, he said he beat you down real good. Well, now you got to do a call 911. You can have them sent away.
Oh, yeah, with the D-Fast joints, yeah. I think that would be a definite, you know, that'll make some folks think twice. Like, damn, you know, they went back to, like, corporal punishment on people, you know what I'm saying?
No, you are exactly right. All right, I'm going to pick up a few more phone calls. Thank you for giving me a call in, man.
All right, no problem.
All right, got a lot of people online, and just to let you know, everybody who's online, even though the show's going to end, you still can get through and talk on the after show. Each and every one of you can keep going. So even though the show's going to end in about 3 minutes, you can continue and keep talking on the after show. It's fun, it's entertaining, and we can get a little bit more loose on that. And I'm going to pick up another phone call, and that phone call is 0283-404. You there? Hello? 404-0283. Are you there? They're not there. Huh. What's going on with them?
It's just so many people enjoy listening to your voice, Tom.
I know. That's what it is. 864-9810. I've seen this number a few times, and I'm going to take a stab and say this is Giselle.
Yes, it is.
Hey, baby. How's it going?
I'm doing good.
I know you come from the killer nigga clan, so go and tell me what you...
Well, I'm sorry. I'm like the rest. I believe it's an eye for an eye. So, yeah, they should drag him and really hurt him because he didn't even give people a chance to run.
He just
mean. Yes, he needs to be hurt.
The audience didn't know Giselle is West Indian. Anything got something to do with some violence or Chris Brown, she going to say something about it. I'm going to talk to you on the after show today. I want to get your opinion a little more. I'm going to get a couple more calls in here. You stay on. I'm going to talk to you on the after show.
Okay.
All right. We're going to pick up 904-5300. Jayville, that's what I'm thinking. Jayville, you on the air.
Hey. This is Shanika.
Shanika.
I didn't hear the whole show. Darn it. I apologize, but I caught the end of it, and I know you guys are talking about capital punishment, and I would actually be one of those folks standing outside picketing.
Oh, really? You didn't want it to go down?
Huh?
You didn't want it to go down?
No, not at all.
Wow. What are your opinions? You're going to be the last opinion on the live show, and then you can stay on, and we're going to talk on the after show.
Well, just collectively, the last young lady that was on was talking about how flawed our judicial system is. Well, that's one of the reasons why, because we really cannot give an accurate or a fair trial to anyone that's saying, and I'm not saying that in this case that he did not deserve punishment, but it's so hard for us to weigh that. We've become gods and not men in so many different situations that we're picking and choosing life. This is also a society that has said it's okay to abort babies in late term. So,
girl, I want you to stay online because I want to get on a little deeper. But this is your world, my views. I am your host, Thomas, Mr. Peeping Tom, all up in your window, Sotomayor. I have my young brother in here tonight, and we got 10 seconds to go. And everybody that's online, stay online. You can talk on the after show. I'm going to see you guys Monday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Peace. Oh, I love that taxing music. I love it. I love it. I love it. Now, there might be some of your folks on that. Go on and talk to them. 7 o'clock. Hold on a second. Let's see. Let's see. Oh, they all went away. What happened? Ozzy, you still there?
Yes, sir.
Something's not right. Something went wrong. I'll let you. Who's still there? Who's talking?
Yo.
I'm still here.
Hello?
Oh,
hello?
Still there. It won't let me see none of y'all. Got the man from Taxi arguing. He be mad at the end of that thing. I don't know what that's about. See him? All right, Shanika.
Yes.
Why is it that you would have been one of the people picking it? Give me an in-depth reason why then.
Just that. I just think that I just think those who are governing over us, those who are making these decisions and laws, I just think that their thinking collectively is flawed. And so it's like they pick and choose who dies for death. They pick and choose when it's an eye for an eye. You know what I'm saying? So it's not, there really is no fair. Nothing's fair there. And so because of that reason and that reason alone, I am against the death penalty. Not that, again, there, even in biblical times, people were stoned to death depending on their crimes. And 100%, if that be the case, if they be found guilty. But because of the way our court systems and our government is today, I just don't think it's fair that anyone gets a fair trial anymore. I don't think anyone gets a fair trial anymore.
Yeah, and that was my take on it. I didn't get a chance to do it, and I hate that. I didn't get a chance to end it the way I normally do, so I'm going to have to do it on here on the after show. But the fact that you have a flawed system, you have man enacting the whole thing. Yo, who's that?
What, the barbecue? Nah.
Yeah, hey, who's still online? You don't be talking about no barbecue if you can't blame nobody, none.
Oh, y'all can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, my bad.
Oh, yeah.
This is the after show. Everybody on
here. How much for one rib?
I didn't know. My bad. It's Charlie Brown. What up, Isley?
What up, boy?
Nothing, chilling. I just called, you know what I'm saying, to support. I know y'all can hear me. I just called to support Isley or whatever, but it turned out the show was hella funny. I mean, I liked it. It was really educational.
Well, let me ask you, what do you think? Well, first off, I'm going to finish talking to Shanika and finish, and then I want you to tell me what you think about what I'm saying right now. Shanika and I were saying it's a flawed system. When you got man running it, man doesn't have the same background. Like, say, I get in front of the court. I'm dark-skinned. I already look pretty guilty when it come up there.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking to me. Somebody points out that they think I look like the guy that did whatever. So they want to say I'm guilty, and then they want to put me into the death penalty. I don't have enough money to get a real, I don't know. It's a socio-economical
absolutely
problem.
Absolutely.
If you don't have enough money to defend yourself like
absolutely
OJ,
mm-hmm,
you are finding yourself on death row. And that's why a lot of black men are disproportionately on death row.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the idea of where's your stance on the death penalty, first off? And has anything on this show even changed your mind about it?
Go ahead. Okay, my stand on it in the individual case that we're talking about, you know, like his whole, like everything he did was premeditated. You know what I'm saying? Like he knew he was going to kill those people. You know, he knew that he was wrong. So in his case, I would definitely give him the death penalty. And coming from somebody, like, I've actually been locked up. I know how it feels to be in prison. I know how that feels. And honestly, like not even just coming from me, coming from most people that are in jail, a lot of people would rather be in jail than be dead. I mean, honestly, like, prison, I mean, I know it sounds horrible, but prison's not that bad. Like you know what I'm saying? After you do, a couple months or whatever, you get used to it. You know what I'm saying? Like you get used to being in your room for 20 hours. You get used to stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So coming out, having that free time, playing cards with your homeboys and gambling and all that stuff, it becomes fun. You know what I'm saying? It's recreational. So honestly, prison's not that bad. So in some people's cases, the death penalty is very necessary. You know what I'm saying? Because like the lady said earlier, his crime was a heinous crime. You know what I'm saying? But also, you can't like our just. I'm not going to fault our justice, because like our justice system has come a long way. I mean, if you look at, you know, back in ancient civilization, people used to you know, like burn a spoon and put the spoon in your hand, and if you flinched, you were guilty. You know what I'm saying? So you have to look at it like that. I mean, it's crazy how, you know, somebody that actually did kill somebody can get away because of the simple fact that, you know, the court doesn't have enough evidence. But at the same time, you know what I'm saying, somebody that didn't do it might get charged just because of the simple fact that they do have the evidence. You know what I'm saying? So in the individual case that we're talking about, he definitely deserves that penalty.
Yeah.
Excuse me. A man that can take that many lives, I don't think he can be changed. You know, a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, if you say, you know, like rape, that's a horrible thing to do. I could never imagine myself raping a little girl or anything of the sort. But if you put a man behind bars for 20-something years and let this man think about his actions, more than likely he will change.
Oh God, shit.
But a man that killed that many people, there's no change in that. Like that's horrible.
But how do you measure that though? How do you measure? How do you say, this is my whole thing, especially with this case. It's basically like saying that because he killed more than one or two, he should die. What about the ones that went inside someone's home, tortured them, put a gun to his fucking head, and killed him in front of his children? Well, it was only one person. So because it was only one person, that person, I'm just going to give him 30 years in prison, but not the death penalty.
I mean, you got to look at it like this. Like people's mind frames are different. Like I'm sure, you know what I'm saying? Like I don't know how you look. Say you're a beautiful young lady. You never know. Say you get into it with your man, you're drunk, you know, like you've had a bad month, you know, and like you have all this frustration built up in you. You know what I'm saying? And you just go off, bust out somebody's door and kill them just because of your frustrations, you're drunk, or whatever else the situation may be. That's a one-time thing. And then as soon as it's done, you turn around looking at yourself like, oh, my God, I can't believe I did this. But you have to understand, this man kills over a couple of days span. Like, he actually had in his car, the man set out and built a compartment in his car so that he could lay down and snipe people and have food as he snipes them. He had a bag of chips next to him as he was loading the bullets. So he knew what he was doing. So this man did this over a couple of days.
But it still takes the same heart to murder.
Let me just moderate for a second. Let me just ask him. I want to ask you both, and I'm going to let you two go back at it because I'm enjoying the fact that you guys are actually both making pretty good points.
Indeed.
Here's what I see what he's saying. He's saying there's a difference between the crimes, meaning like a crime of passion. I got mad at you. I came home. You were in the bed with somebody. I killed you and him. But like OJ, I always tell people, I wouldn't be afraid to sit in a room with OJ. He's already killed the people he don't like. He's not gonna kill anybody else. He killed the people who did something to him, and he snapped.
Mm-hmm.
But he won't kill anyone else. Shanika, what do you think about that premise of there is a difference between killing?
I don't see a difference. I think that the heart of a man is what it is. There are certain boundaries a man will not cross if that thing is not in his heart. So whether I come home and I find my man in the bed with another woman, if that shit is not in my heart to happen, or I've never contemplated murder, I've never contemplated violence, then I promise you I will not react in a violent manner. That is the heart of a man.
You can't say that.
Well, have you ever cheated on somebody before? Have you ever cheated on somebody before?
Yeah.
Okay, so being that you cheated on somebody before, you can that it, hold on. Being that you cheated on somebody before, like if you're going by what you're saying, that means that you don't ever deserve to have another man. because you cheated on somebody before. So you cheated on somebody before, that means you're just a cheater for the rest of your life. And that's not true. You did something wrong, and you can correct yourself, and you can come back and do the right thing
later.
No.
Our argument is not that. I absolutely believe that people can change. I'm not saying that. No. We're talking specifically about whether or not there are different types of a murderer.
There are though. I mean, if you let's bring it back to the cheating thing. Okay, say you cheated on one man.
Right.
The circumstances for you to cheat on that one man might have just been crazy enough for you to cheat on that one man. And like you cheat on that one man, I think that you deserve to be happy again. But if you're like me and you cheat on every chick that you've ever been with, you don't deserve to have another chick. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I'm looking at it. Like, if this
right.
man had just killed his wife, then put him in jail. Put him in jail for a life sentence. You know what I'm saying? The life penalty is only 25 years now. You know what I'm saying? So put him in there. Let him think about what he did and let him come out. But this man killed multiple people. He don't know. He knew none of these people that he killed, because the people that were close to him that he really did hate, which was his wife and his kids, they're still alive. You know what I'm saying? So
it was not a passion. It was a plot kill. That's like craziness. You know what I mean? And craziness sets in. And I understand what she's saying as far as going, taking it to the point where she says, well, whatever a man does, if he kills somebody, that's in his heart. Yeah, that's in his heart, but he could have been in his heart at that time to actually kill somebody. I just think it's a toss-up. Just depending on the situation, it all just comes down to the situation, and that's just my views and opinions on the whole situation.
I'd like to say something to the young lady that made the statement that's in their heart. I don't agree with you.
Okay.
And the only reason why I say that, I agree with the fact that some people really do have it in their heart to kill. They are malicious, evil people, and they want to bring or give harm to someone else. But I think that a lot of people are mentally disturbed. They really are. They're not even aware or even in control of their emotions or their feelings. And this individual that was accused of the DC sniper, he a total lack of respect for human life.
Right.
Julia.
Okay, you really just kind of made my point. Julia, and I didn't mean to cut you off, but that's my point. We can't measure the heart of any man.
Yeah, okay.
We can't measure and say if he was insane or if he had or this was a crime of passion or this was just a one-time thing or this was
because a psychological evaluation.
It wasn't a one-time thing because
I'm not talking
just,
about
it,
him.
It,
I mean
just,
on a larger scale, not just him,
yeah.
not just him.
Okay.
On a larger scale. Now we're talking about the opinions. All of these things are opinions. Psychological evaluations. All of those things are opinions. So what I'm saying is, it's a very difficult and dangerous thing to start getting into measuring the heart, because that's basically what it is. I'm going to say to you that based on the evidence, based on what my so-called professionals or experts say, then based on that, I'm going to put you to death. Based on these evidence, how many
yes.
men have been put to death based on evidence that weren't even guilty, that were
yes.
found to be innocent after the fact?
Yes.
So that's my whole thing. Because we can't measure the heart of a man, because I can't say if just because, now, like for a crime of passion, for instance, I may have known for months that you were cheating on me. I may have set it up for you to think I'm out of town, and then came home and already weighed and said, well, I'm only going to do 5 years because I'm going to kill them both because they've shamed me. But to everybody on the outside looking in, she's an upstanding citizen. She's never done anything in her life, but she has contemplated murder ever since she found out about it. But we can't measure that because she's not going to admit it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Of course.
Julia, you know me, and the thing about me is I have a psychology background, and I'm pretty good at judging people. But you also know that I make mistakes. And another thing we learned in psychology was this. It's very easy to apply your trade when your heart or emotions are not involved. Meaning, if you see someone who kills a child and you're on that jury and your child was killed, your emotions are
Absolutely.
Now involved in trying to convict that person.
Okay.
So everything about that trial, you're disgusted because your child was killed, or you know a child that was killed, or you have something involved in that personally. And anytime you have human beings and personal experiences, the
right.
results and the outcome can be skewed. So I am in agreement a little bit with Shanika on that. And, again, Drew, like I said, you know me, and you know I love to psychoanalyze people. But I'm wrong frequently, and especially when it's someone who's close to me or if I'm somehow emotionally involved. And we're putting people to death
mm-hmm.
over these emotional involvements of 12 people who have different backgrounds. And as someone said, the caller earlier, said they have different backgrounds in that person. Someone
yeah,
might
yeah.
be having problems with their wife at home, and they're just trying to get
right.
out of that trial.
And I just want to hurry up. Right, let's just go ahead and make a decision. I don't care what the evidence looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. Whatever
y'all
right. say,
I'll
just
follow
up with
hello?
You.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead, young bro.
So you can hear me now?
Yeah,
oh, this is Harper again. And the thing is, there's evidence contrary to that belief. A lot of times what happens is jurors take their job very seriously. Yeah, I'm sure there are a few, but in most cases they pull the jurors have a tendency to take their job very seriously because they understand what's going on at hand. Perfect example is the OJ trial. People think it didn't take – they weren't in the deliberating long enough. Well, they sat through there long enough because they went in there and they went in with a distinct purpose of trying to quickly move past. Not quickly as in terms of I want to get out of here, but quickly in terms of we know what we need to do. We need to vote. They went in there and they voted right away. They took their job seriously. People don't do that with juries. And when you're in a jury, you take your job very seriously. In terms of the death penalty, my thing is this. You got to take about a case-by-case basis. I think I've worked with agencies who help people transition from prison and back into the real world. I've heard a lot of terrible things. I've seen a lot of people rehabilitated. I've seen a lot of people not rehabilitated. And it's a case-by-case basis. In terms of the death penalty, I look at it like this. When you have something clear-cut as this, he's got to go. When there is more in terms of evidence going back and forth, then maybe, maybe not. You know, that's why we have the beyond a reasonable doubt. We don't have the best. Our criminal justice system is not the best.
Yeah.
Hello? Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Who's that?
Okay. Well, here's one thing what the government can do, since these people want to go around shooting and killing everybody, and since since some people are big on war, why don't we take these killers and send them overseas to war? Since they like to shoot and kill people so much.
They'll shoot and kill each other, you know what I'm saying? But like I said, coming from somebody that actually has been locked up, like you have to give these family members some kind of justice. And putting a serial murderer behind bars is not justice. Because I guarantee you in 2-3 years he's gonna be comfortable in his surroundings. Like I said, he's going to get used to being in that room. He's going to get used to those hot dogs. He's going to get used to that meal. It's going to become pattern. And you know, people already we're creatures of habit. You know what I'm saying? We're creatures of habit. You know what I'm saying? So if every day we get used to waking up and doing this and that, we get used to that. I mean, I know, you know, a lot of people don't like the jobs that they work at. You know what I'm saying? But being that human beings are creatures of habit, they get used to it and they get over it. You know what I'm saying? So being that this man is locked in jail for such and such amount of years, he's going to get used to it and get over it. And you never know, like, this man could still be, you know, he can still have the same mentality, like you know, fuck those people. You know what I'm saying? When I get out of here, I'm going to kill me 12 more.
Well, it's different.
You know what I'm saying? So
it's different for people. Me. Like in the crash of you kind of young, and I'm kind of young, so we weren't there. But in the crash of 1929, when the stock market crashed, some people went to eating Spam and was all right with it. Some people killed themselves because they lost all their money.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing that works with jail. Some people go to jail and go crazy.
That's right.
Some people go to jail and they adapt, and that's the human condition. It's Darwinism. The strong will survive. Charles Manson survived in jail because he was crazy when he was out of jail. He didn't have anything when he was out of jail. He actually needed that structure of jail. There are some people who go back and forth to jail because they have more structure in jail. They have more family members in jail, and so that's where they want to be. But there's something you said in your sentence, Harper, and you said, for the most part, they take their job seriously. When you kill someone, for the all part, they're dead. So not for the most part, for the all part, they're dead. But you're saying the people who are applying that sentence on them, for the most part, do their job right.
Okay.
I don't believe in killing somebody for the most part.
What I'm saying is based on these have done polling of jurors. They do take their job very seriously. Now, I say for the most part because I do leave the margin for error, which would be whatever it is, because
that's
I know I'm not stupid enough or naive enough to believe that everybody goes in there taking their job seriously. But, like, for example, someone who's, like, in a traffic violation, they're probably not going to take their juror job as serious as someone who's in a murder case. A murder case, you're going to take that more seriously because, you know, these are human beings on these jurors, and they do understand that they literally can't hold someone's life.
Hey, hold on. I don't want to cut you off, but I got to get ready. I got Club Frequency tonight. I got a host. So, Isley, I love the show. Big Brother, I love the show. I'll be calling tomorrow and the next day, but I got to go. So, y'all have a good night.
Okay. All right, good night.
Hey, this is literally what I'm just trying to say, and should be. I'm waiting on Giselle because I want to hear what Giselle had to say. Giselle, are you there? Giselle?
Did she leave?
I must have cut her off. But what I want to hear is the explanation, Harper, of just I just really believe when a person loses their life, that's it. And, like, right now, we're in the age of sensationalism. Like, I did a show a little while back where a young girl was raped, and the people around her, instead of helping, they
right.
watched, and then some of them even videotaped it on their phone.
Right.
We live in a society to where when you get on that trial, the one thing you know is if it's a sensational trial, you can get a book deal.
Yeah.
So are you really taking your job seriously when you know that you're trying to get a book deal out
yeah.
of it? When you're trying to make money off of what's going on? When someone's trying to put a camera inside of the proceedings so it can get on court TV or true TV, or can you really say that those people in those high-profile trials are taking their job seriously?
Mm. Or that their views aren't skewed.
Thank you.
And
they
yeah,
watch
absolutely.
CSI all day.
Yeah.
They think a trial's supposed to take an hour, 60 minutes with commercials.
Yeah.
You know what? Maybe I am a little naive. I have more confidence in that part of the justice system. Now, that being
yeah.
said, now, do I believe – now, hold on. Now, here's my stance on the death penalty. I'm against it. Why? Because it's extremely biased. It's extremely biased. I don't like that aspect of it. But I do understand that sometimes there's things that some people have to be put to death. And, again, this guy – what really scared me was when I first heard it that he was being put to death, someone told me that the kid was getting killed. And I was like, why are they killing the kid? The kid was nothing more than a gun. You don't melt the gun down because it was used in a murder. And that's where I see the child. So that was my first thing, but we know that wasn't the case. And then when I heard that he was going to get killed, I go, oh, okay, good. You made America that much safer. Jeffrey Dahmer should not have had life in prison. Should not even have been discussed. Now, I don't know. I think it was Ohio or Illinois where he was. I don't know what their stance is on the death penalty.
You know why,
that.
Though? Let me
why?
Tell you why.
Right?
Because
he killed black people.
Because he was killing what we saw as undesirables. He was
good
killing prostitutes.
Black
he was,
people in
he
some
was killing homosexuals. He was killing. That's yeah. who he was killing. But who the DC sniper was killing? He was killing a district attorney, and he was killing
but,
all these people
on,
who we
wait,
saw.
Hold on,
but then, look
saying,
how fast they killed him.
Wait, hold
yeah.
on. Look
how long people are on death row.
Wait. Una mata para mi amiga. Okay? Is that,
yeah.
Number one, hold on. With the Jeffrey Dahmer case, the state, what was it, Illinois or Ohio, what is their stance as a state on the death penalty? Do they have it or do they not have it? Because if they don't have it, you can't use that as a good way to say he should, you know what I'm saying? Because that's apples and oranges.
I'm sure that you and I, and sure a lot of other people, can go online and pull up multiple cases. Where,
right, I understand that. Wait,
yeah,
I'm
absolutely. That's what I mean about it being flawed.
Yeah, that's what I said too.
Yeah, either it's going to be this, or it should be nothing. It shouldn't be where I get to pick and choose. Like one of the most ridiculous things is we're a united country. Why do states have different laws? Like I don't even understand that because that's not united. It's actually divided. So I don't understand that.
Because you got to give the state their due. Then that means we don't become a democracy on some levels. So therefore, the states have to have their own individuality.
which has created division in our country, which is why our country will surely fall, because of the division in our country. Because
let me tell you, country's going to fall not because we have different state laws.
No, division, period.
Well, no, everything falls. So let's not even worry about that. You know, some things fall faster, some things take a little bit more time. You know, look at the Italian society. They have a revolution on every 20, 30 years. So it's going to happen. It's just ours is taking a long time. Television is a fad. It's a fad that's going on strong, but eventually it will die out. Same with American society, but maybe not in the next 20 years. Fact of the matter is, I'm looking online now, and I'm trying to find out what state he killed the people in.
Okay.
Continue on. I'm sorry.
That's it. Julia.
Yes, ma'am.
You were saying.
Well, what I was saying, I was proving your point, really, like you said.
Yeah.
About it not being objective.
Yeah, it makes me sad.
About it not, it's not an accurate system of judgment. It's not.
Julia,
right.
What do you think about the fact that they don't, they really, really don't kill women? Was it Suzanne Warnos probably was one of the last women to get the death penalty?
Mm.
But women have been killing because mine and my daughter's favorite show is Snapped.
And what? Let me tell
you. Yeah, I like it too. But another woman was killed recently.
You know why women? You know why women are not killed? I think because to a certain degree we're still considered subservient.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
I'm going to go a little further with it and say, just like back in the old days, we were treated for hysteria. We're thought to be men, and I don't want to generalize. I don't want y'all to jump on me when I say this, but I think men dismiss us as crazy a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's crazy. We can't kill her. She's being a woman. She's crazy.
Right.
Well, and it feels bad. Okay, look at this. Just look at it this way. When you watch the show Cheaters, and I admonish you all to watch it, and then look at the Cheater Hour every day on my show, 3 o'clock.
Okay.
When you watch Cheaters, don't they allow the woman to come beat the hell out of the man?
Yes, they do. It's
so
always a confrontation. But I guess I didn't really bring my point on home to say the reason why women are not executed is because also, too, that we're considered the safest type of victim, if you get what I'm trying to say. How could she do it? She couldn't possibly have known what she was doing. She couldn't have possibly done that. She's a woman. She's not capable of that type of feeling or emotion. A lot of men, society dismisses us.
But the same thing happens when you guys cheat. Think about it. Y'all still get the benefit of the doubt when y'all cheat. Somebody says, well, a woman don't cheat because of sex. She cheat because of the emotional.
I've never heard that. A man must have said that.
No, they do say that. They say a woman don't cheat because she wants the sex. She cheat because of something she's lacking at home.
Yeah.
But a man cheats because she's a dog.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with killing. They say when a woman decides to kill, it must have been something really, really emotional that made her kill.
Yeah.
Well, that's
when a man kills, he's just a damn killer.
But wouldn't murder be considered emotional, period?
Yeah.
No.
By logic, just like, have you ever heard of the thing called a hate crime?
Right,
if
you
kill somebody, don't you hate them by logic?
Yeah.
So
what they did,
it's different.
I hate
what crime is based.
What I'm saying is just in general, there was some hate in your heart to make you kill someone.
Because we're emotional beings, not just women. But the problem is, I blogged about this. We're taught that emotions are bad. To feel angry, to feel malice, to feel all these different emotions are bad. And so, like, as far as black men are concerned, if you cry, your daddy gonna punch you in your damn chest because niggas don't cry. Dude, suck that shit up, and I bet not hear you crying again. And so men are taught to suppress all of that. And women are as well, because the moment a woman starts crying, her man rolls his eyes up in the back of his head like, what the fuck she crying for now? And so we're all being taught how to behave that makes everyone around us comfortable. But the moment we can no longer suppress it and we do something like drown our kids or do something else heinous, we're looking sideways and I want to kill them. And it's such a hypocrisy to me
that we're not being taught from very young. That's the kind of shit that need to be taught in school. Not my mama. I got two mommies, and that kind of stuff they teach in the school now. But how to handle the things that actually are going to matter when becoming an adult and dealing with different attitudes and different moral values and all these different things. That's not what children are being taught anymore. We're not being taught. We can't do tit for tat. We're not being taught those things. Well, no, because it's a society thing. Because if just think about it, there was something old boy missed at home to get up and go kill all these people. There was something he missed.
Exactly. That's a home thing. He wasn't hugged enough.
Yeah, there was something. I don't know what it was, whatever it was. But imagine if...
The teacher ain't expected to take up the slack.
No, not the teacher. I'm not about to say just the teacher. But imagine if everybody got involved with everybody.
Yeah,
because we're so closed emotionally.
I don't want to know my business.
Real quick, I got to run. Jeffrey Dahmer was put to killed the people in Wisconsin. Wisconsin does not have the death penalty. Just wanted to get that out real quick.
Thank you, Harper.
Right, good deal.
Thanks.
Have a good one. It was another great show. I enjoyed it. I'll be listening 3 times a week now instead of just 2.
All right.
Have a great one.
All right. Well, thanks for joining me.
Sorry, guys. I didn't say much, but thank you.
Oh, you going too? All right.
Well, no, I'm just listening, but I just want to get that in before we all hang up.
Okay. See, I wanted to make one last point about the whole thing, about the death penalty. And the way, to me, the problem is, me coming from a psychology background, I can feel what you were saying, Shanika, except for this point. And I should agree with you 100%. But I've seen it, I've talked to people, and here's one thing I do know. We live in a society to where psychologists and psychiatrists make too much money. They make too many visits to just give their opinions on a life that they've never lived.
Absolutely.
And let me tell you why. Because I can give my opinion on your life, and it's according to how I feel that day or what I'm thinking that day. It could be a good diagnosis or bad diagnosis. But at the end of the day, what we're doing is giving people outs. And what I mean by outs is this. Kids are not accountable for anything they do because now you have ADD, ADHD.
Absolutely.
Everything you just said was literally how people get off. They say, well, I wasn't hugged enough. Well, I wasn't blah, blah, blah. Well, it used to be a time when your dad was working out in the field all day picking cotton and you never saw him, but you still didn't go out and act up like that. Or you had a dad who worked in the factory and he worked in the factory for 18 hours for a little bit of nothing, yet you still didn't grow up to be a killer. The difference is now killers get on television. Killers get their own TV shows. So if you just don't like people at your job, what can you do since you saw Brian Nichols go out and kill people and then get this big long trial? You want your 15 minutes of fame. That's the reason why everybody has a Facebook page. That's the reason why everybody has a porn on their cell phone, because we want our 15 seconds or 15 minutes of fame. So people are killing now because it's a viable option to become somebody. If you can't be famous, why not be infamous?
I have to agree with that because in my family, I mean, the way we were raised, we didn't grow up killing people or becoming punks or having kids at a young age or anything like that. But it's all about how you was raised, because even though my dad tried to tell my brothers, hey, you can't cry, my mom put her foot down early on. So, I mean, it's just everybody's different. Not everybody was raised the way you said they were raised, by saying that you can't cry because you're going to be a punk and all that. My mom put a foot down on that. So I have to agree with what Thomas just said. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm not saying that that if you're not hugged, that wasn't the stance I was taking as far as it being something that was missing like that, Thomas, not so much hugs and whatever. What my point was that if we were all connected the way we should be, and you said it, I don't know your name, the woman that just spoke, and
I'm
like to address
Richard
people
Dean.
Like Regine?
Richard Dean.
Okay. You said it. So whether it, like for me, growing up,
I had an entire village. I had aunts and uncles and aunties. And so my mama worked long, very, very long hours, but we were all connected. And so where my mama could not interject, my auntie did. Where she couldn't interject, Miss Gertrude, my neighbor, did. And that doesn't necessarily make us perfect, but it gives us a more balanced view of life, and it gives us a more balanced view of the way we should behave. Because do I think that one parent has enough to give their children? Absolutely not. That's why we're all connected the way that we are. When I said that he was missing something at home, I meant period. So whether it was in fifth grade, eighth grade, somebody saw some shit in his life. That didn't just come up out of the blue. That didn't just come up out of nowhere. And I'm saying that if we could just pay closer attention to one another and not turn a blind eye, when we see these little twerks and little inconsistencies in one another's personalities, and we address those things as is, because I do care enough to say something about it instead of saying that's not my business. But, that was my point.
But here's the problem. Mark Barton. I used to work up in the King and Queen building, and there's a guy named Mark Barton. I don't know if you guys remember, but Mark Barton came in, and he shot five people at the King and Queen building here in Atlanta.
Okay.
He did this because he was fired from his job. He did this because his wife was divorcing him, and you cannot stop that pain. Same as this guy, the D.C. sniper. He lost his kids with the woman that he was married to.
Right.
He was used to the structure he had. He lost that structure. Well, if you were his friend and you see that his girl broke up with him or his wife divorced him, you do just like, think about it. How many times have all of us been broke up with, cried, and whatever, and then went on with our life?
That was just,
really
that was probably the thing that tilted the scale, Thomas. That was probably
I believe you. What I'm saying is the people around him, it's very difficult to notice the difference between, okay, he just got broke up with and he took the breakup to where he going to kill somebody. I broke up with a girl who made $100,000 a year. She came and threw a brick through my car.
Oh, no. Oh, hell no.
Because we broke up.
Sorry.
So here's the thing.
Oh, wow.
You don't know who's going to do what. You don't know who's going to react. I had another girlfriend who I cheated on her with like three people she knew, and all she did was cry. She never did anything. So one, I just decided I don't want you anymore, threw a brick through my car. I never saw that coming. The other one, I cheated on her every 5 seconds, and all she did was cry and go on about her business. So we can't really tell how those people are going to react, regardless of how they are raised. And it comes down to stress. What is it? Pressure bust pipes makes diamonds.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people cannot deal with pressures in life. Again, I go back to the crash of 29. The pressure of I'm going broke made some people kill themselves, made other people become millionaires in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
So it has nothing to do with a lot of times with the way they were raised, because you have a lot of families that come from – you have a lot of people that come from great families that had all kinds of love and people were there for them, but you have one child that grows up to be president, the other one is a thief.
I agree, and that was an awesome analogy. But in my heart of hearts, I 100% believe that those things do not leave you.
Right.
That the lessons that we need to make it in life, if they are done in a balanced way, if they are done in the way that God intended it, I do not believe that we would have to go through the struggles of life. I don't believe that struggles emotionally, financially, physically, I don't believe that they're a part of life, that it's a necessity to go through those things, that you have to go through those things. I still believe that if you have someone who is ill-equipped to handle stress, it's because no one taught them. I still believe that everything that we need, every ability to handle things, to be successful, I believe that those things are in every area of our lives and every person that we meet. We just choose not to tap into those things. And I think that 100%. Now, even if we go back to biblical times, for instance, and how everybody lived in a village, and I'm sure there is not a census that'll say how the crime rate was, but I'm willing to bet my farm that it was not as it is today. And it has nothing to do with the pressures of this world is any different, because nothing under the sun is new. Everything has always been.
The murder rate was actually higher.
I don't know. I don't even know how you can actually measure that. I can't
well,
even
I can tell.
Tell
you, I
but
can tell you that one back in the Wild Wild West, the murder rate was higher than it
I'm not
is
talking,
now.
I was going
no,
back
no, 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 no. I'm telling you back
yeah.
then, because back then the rule of law was if you were to sin that they could stone you just on the fact that somebody said you could do it. But so by that premise, if we're going to use the Bible,
mm-hmm.
if we're going to use what the Bible said, the Bible talked about whole cities being destroyed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we cannot act like we did that they lived in peace, because if you read the Bible,
I didn't say they lived in peace.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I've been through seminary. I have two parents who are pastors. I can tell you to your face right now.
Most
of the Bible is about death, murder, people getting killed. You can just read Job. You can read Sodom and Gomorrah. You can read almost anything. There was a lot of murdering in there. It wasn't this vast village of everybody's getting along.
No. I didn't. That's not okay. That's not what I meant. Not at all.
What I'm saying is that you're saying the murder rate was higher now. We actually live in one of the most civilized times in world history.
But civilized as far
as about the murder rate. The murder rate of people now is lower, literally, than it has been in a long time. And I can pull that up and send you some stuff about that just over the last 100 years. And then you have to also go by per capita, meaning you have to go by the amount of people and the amount of people getting killed. It's like last night the lady talked about, she said there's the same amount of blacks who've been put in the death penalty as whites. But what she missed out on the fact was blacks are a minority. So the preponderance of people who are getting killed are a higher percentage in the black community than it is in the white. But you can manipulate numbers to say pretty much whatever you want. But,
absolutely.
Yeah, but back in those days, it was very violent. Back in the days before actually a rule of law, it was amazingly violent. Just the way that Jesus was murdered and killed, if you look at it, people were killed like that all the time.
Okay. Now, what I meant actually was, as it pertains to living in a village and everyone being connected, in a way that the way that someone's life is going to turn out is contingent upon how everyone else is connected to one another. Now, as far as I don't want to get into like a biblical debate, not at all, but I'm talking about the way that we were raised one with the other and not having respect of that's not my child or that's not my son, so I'm not going to say anything. And it's being connected like that, I think, that will make a difference in our society. Not so much how the judicial system works, or if someone is going to be put to death, or if someone is going to get 30 years to life, or whatever the case may be. But if we start raising children from young, from babies, how to interact with their brothers, how to interact with their sisters, how to interact in society, I do believe that once that is implanted, they won't forget it when they become older.
I would agree with you on that 1,000%, actually. I was just playing devil's advocate on some of that.
Yeah,
stuff.
I know.
But
that's why I wasn't even going to take it that way with the Bible. I wasn't even going to go that way.
What you say with the Bible with me?
No. The Bible
like
don't need me to argue their point. No, yeah, I know. So I wasn't even going that way with him.
But no, I definitely agree with you on that. I mean, like, I've dated chicks, and my ex, actually, her daughter still calls me dad.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was of belief, my grandmother used to always say, the only thing worse than bad kids is somebody else's bad kids. And we believe in, if you're going to bring your bad-ass kids around me, I'm going to say something to them. So if you don't want me to say nothing to them, don't bring them around me.
That's exactly right. I agree. My neighbor came over, her son, and he was jumping on my couch. Now, I've never had one of my children jump on my couch, so I didn't even know how to act. So the only thing I could say to him was, baby, get down. Well, baby didn't get down. His mama sat right there, and I spanked his little legs, and I said, get your ass off my couch. And his mama was shocked, just as shocked as he was. His whole face turned red. They were Caucasian. I mean, his entire face turned red, and she turned red, and I said, I want him once. Now, if he was one of my children, I would have spanked him the first time. But then I wouldn't have that problem again. So when you're when you're at my house, you're subject to my rules. And so that was a crash course for her. So absolutely. And she was a new neighbor, too.
I agree. I agree, because when I was at the boot camp, my friend who handles the boot camp, she brought her nephew. He decided he was going to hit the little girl that was there, and I made him apologize. She said, why didn't you say anything to me? I said, because we were outside.
Mm-hmm.
And I already know he's bad because I saw how he was acting at the funeral. So I made him apologize. He's like, well, thank you. I said, believe me, I know what to do. I got 9 nieces and nephews. So,
yeah.
Okay.
The mom didn't get upset?
No, the mom wasn't there at all.
Okay.
She was watching the nephew, but she was also trying to teach the boot camp. And he decided to go outside behind the girls and hit one of the girls for no reason. And I'm like, you can't go around hitting people. You need to apologize. He said, no. I said, either you apologize or else. And he looked at me. I said, I'm not playing. Your mama's not here and your auntie's inside. And he was like, whoa. And I'm like, yeah, you need to apologize now. So he did.
Yeah,
and
most parents would get angry about that.
Yeah, they do. And she already knows that she would get angry because my friend told me. I'm like, well, she don't want nobody to, you know, punish her child or, you know, put him in his place, then she needs to keep him 100% and not let anybody else watch him.
Because I think in the minds of children, when that happens, when I can misbehave over here, and then I have to, and so it gives them, it makes them sneaky, and it gives them a very distorted view of how they should behave. And so if in my own house I have no rules, I run around or whatever, my mom gives me no boundaries, and then when I go outside, you cannot expect a child to conform, like to constantly be changing when I'm around this person, if I'm around that person, if I'm around this person. So all these things should be instilled in them right off the bat. Like, no. I don't have a child. I always give people, I don't have a child-proof home. I'm not putting my shit up. I'm not. I'm not doing it. I'm not buying no special knobs for my doors. I'm not putting no locks on the stove. I'm not doing it. And I have a big house. My house is about 5,000 square feet. I'm not changing anything. So if I have a new baby and you come in the house, if you touch the stove, you're going to burn your hand. So hopefully you won't touch it again. And I have never had any problems with someone sticking a knife in the socket, like crazy stuff like that. I've never had that happen.
That's
my
messed
son
up. I stuck a knife in the socket when I was little. I'm telling you, I did it. I fucked up my hand.
My son drank bleach once.
Oh no.
He did. He drank bleach, and I called poison control. I did what they said, and I said, now don't drink that again. I still didn't lock my damn cabinets. Don't do it again. Because when you go outside, if we go to someone else's house, if we go to Publix, if you go to school, they're not putting shit up high for you. So you need to be able to handle wherever we go. Because if we go to Tina's house, my girlfriend's house, she has no children. So I'm not going to expect her to put her shit up because my kid's coming over. I just don't expect that.
Right.
So, you know, don't touch that. And so that's how you tell kids everything is not going to wrap around your life and how you want to behave. Yeah.
Why the hell are you so much like me? This is amazing. Like, people look at me and think I'm with the attitude that we take right now, they will look at you as rude.
Yeah, they think I'm rude too.
You're rude the way you're saying it. And then I can't hold my tongue because I can only let so much stuff go on around me for a minute. Like my dad. My dad was like, I'd be the mess around and punch one of them kids in the chest, so I go outside.
Yeah.
Because I can't. The only thing worse than bad kids is parents allowing their kids to be bad. You'd be like, let me whoop your parents' ass now, because what are they doing?
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, yeah, everyone thinks I'm rude. Everyone says
no.
I'm rude.
You're not rude.
No. They tell us my sister, but she's like, whatever.
I say it because I mean well. My heart is not to hurt your feelings. At all. I don't think I'm a everyone says I'm a know-it-all. I think I know it all.
No, you're just confident in what you know.
And
but
I'm
you know what? I am just the opposite. Like, I have a 3-year-old son. And I already agree with you with it takes a village. And I don't claim to know everything, and I don't try to know everything, and I don't try to be his all-in-all. I know good and well that when my son grows up and to be a man, that he will have more influences than just me. And I welcome that.
That's awesome.
So anybody that knows me, if you see my child doing something, please, please, please be my eyes and my ears, be my disciplinarian, check him.
That's
check
awesome.
Him. Let him know. Because that's like you said, when we get out there, you think somebody's not watching you, you think only one person can, chastise you or hold you accountable. Well,
that's not true.
That's why they didn't let the teachers step in like they used to in the past, because in the past, we had teachers that walk around with paddles with a hole in them.
Yeah, I remember getting paddled in school. I got paddled. I was kind of bad.
I got paddled
all the time.
My mom made me wear this hug me sweater every week, and I was mad.
Oh,
I got hugged. That bothered me that she threatened to buy me a kiss me sweater, and I told her I would run away.
They spank in school here in Jacksonville. The teachers can spank. You sign a form.
Yeah,
I sign that form every time they come home. You absolutely beat his ass if he get out of line.
Yes.
Yeah, in Georgia it used to be. I remember this because I was one of those children that always got paddled. In Georgia, I don't know what year it was, but you were allowed to get spanked. There was nothing. You didn't need a permission slip. And after they spanked you, your parents were notified. I remember it went from paddles to rulers to, and it could be for any little thing. just to keep you in check. I remember I got paddled for sticking my tongue out at a teacher one day.
I bet you didn't do that again.
I sure didn't. That's right.
Like, but she grown and she like getting paddled now, so.
Ooh, no, I don't. That hurt. That tender skin.
But that is true. And Julia, the funny thing is, not very many, and I think this is what me and Shanika fall in place, because we realize not very many parents out there are like you anymore. There used to be a village where if you did whoop their child's ass, they went to you and they whooped their child's ass again for getting beat by you because they took your word for it. Now they can know their child is a bad child. They can know their child is a thief. They can know their child is a criminal. And then someone says, hey, you know, little Rontavia stole something from me.
Right.
And they'll defend Rontavia to the nth degree and tell you, how dare you say something to my child, when they know their child has stolen from them.
First of all, don't name your baby Rontavia, because you already know what he's going to do. Now, we don't want to get into that. I don't want to get into that. Y'all touching a sensitive subject with me. You name your child what you want to name. That's your baby.
Wait, what's your baby name, Julia?
I don't want to tell you.
Well, go ahead, give him his name.
I don't want to say. My son's name is Kyrie Sagidi Baker.
What do you mean? So he's going to be going to school answering questions like I did.
It has a firm meaning. I know it
does.
Yes,
ma'am.
Yeah, baby, what it means. Okay. Kyrie means kingly. Mm-hmm. Lord knows his daddy named him that first name. I only got a chance to pick the middle name. His daddy claimed the first and the last. Now, the middle name means he is like a thousand.
Mhm. Now pronounce it again.
Sagidi, and it's spelled the same way you pronounce it. Sagidi. I know
I
y'all.
I like that one though.
I like that one too. And at first I wanted it to be his first name, but you know, it's a boy, it's a male, and then on top of that too, I felt like it's his father's right. He can name his son. You know, so he got the first and the last name. I got the middle.
Well, I had a friend. Her name was Titi Lola Jadisola.
Oh, yeah,
I like it a lot.
What did it mean?
Child of wonder, child of wealth.
That's beautiful.
That is really nice.
I know she got clowns.
She's African, so no. She came over when she was in her 20s. So, yeah, she, Titi Lola Jadisola.
Now, I remember a young lady in school with me. Her name was Nataki.
I was just befriended by someone.
Yeah, she is
like
African,
that.
But she's been in the States forever because we went to school. We were in third, fourth, fifth grade together, and I can't remember what it meant, but I think it meant precious one or sweetness. It meant something like that. It was a beautiful meaning to it, but I remember in school they were cruel. They clowned her so bad because her name was Nataki.
Well, see, that's not as bad as monkey. I was a woman named Monkey.
Really?
I said, quit playing. What is your name? She said, Monkey. I said, I'm serious. Stop playing. She said, seriously, my first name is Monkey. I said, okay. What was your parents drinking or what were they on?
Poor baby.
I'm not trying to be funny, but growing up being called Monkey, and she never changed her name. I said, oh, no.
It's actually not a nickname. It's her name.
No, it's her first name.
Oh, poor
you don't
baby.
Realize names. What you name it? If you haven't noticed, what you usually name a child usually dictates what they do. And like, to be honest, it does. You see these people who have a – you rarely see, like I said, Rontavious running for any kind of public office. You rarely see him. It's just – and that's why I love the African names. The African names all mean something. I love that. They mean something. They mean something special. You want your child to go on to be something. Quit just giving them a name that's just going to be something that stands out when they go to a job interview, and it stops them from even getting to that interview.
Absolutely. And they did a study on that a few years ago in 2017, so we know that that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But y'all know what? I get sensitive about the name thing because even though we say, okay, I want to give my child a name that's a good crossover name or a name that's a good traditional name that they won't be discriminated against, okay, fine. You make it to the interviewing table, that doesn't mean you're going to get a job.
Hold on, no. But see, anybody will tell you about this, and Martin Luther King thought about this. He used to say that about this. And they have this little program in the NFL called the Rooney Rule. And the Rooney Rule, what it says is you have to interview one black person. Doesn't mean you have to hire them, but you have to interview them. And you know what that actually means when you sit down with some people? It's kind of like how we're talking right now. Sometimes somebody can talk you into something that you didn't think before. You remember what I told you, Julia, where I said, well, any man, if he meet any woman at any time, at the right time, he can fuck her?
True.
Any man that gets into a job interview and can actually speak for himself, he got a better chance than if he never got there at all.
Absolutely.
That's true.
I sit down with any woman, I believe I can fuck her when I get through talking.
Oh, Lord. I agree. I think I can, too, Thomas.
I did.
But you're right.
I believe you can, too, Shanik. I believe you can talk to the straightest woman and get her to say, you know what, I try that.
I have done it.
Oh, Lord. Absolutely.
And it, you know what, it actually does not take a lot of convincing.
Sure
does. You don't even have to talk about sex. You don't have to talk about any of those things. All you have to do is make someone comfortable enough being around you.
Thank you. Notice what we do on the page. We get people so comfortable that they just throw stuff out there.
All they business.
Yeah, all your business, you throw it out there. It's because of the comfort level. Most people, if you just talk to them long enough, and most guys have understood that. Once you get a woman to the position where you can just talk to them, like you said, you don't have to be talking about sex to a woman.
Mm-mm.
If she just sees how you carry yourself and talk to you long enough, she feels comfortable. Next thing you know, clothes off.
Boom, that's it. I got pictures on my phone. That's it.
I know I need to be careful.
But I believe it. I was always a dark skinned, short haircut dude that would walk into, even when I walked into my job at IBM, my first interview. Because they saw that Thomas Harris III, I got in there. Because I sat in there and was different when I opened my mouth than what they saw walking through the door, they was willing to give me a chance. But if they ain't saw Jamarcus, whatever, it's easy for them to put that red around the bottom. How do I know? Because I, being a black person, have actually done it. When I was doing recruiting for IBM, there were certain people who I knew that I was like, I don't want black people in this position because they always mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't put them in there. And I would notice them before I brought them in just by their name. I would put it on the bottom of the pile. I would delete their email. And it sounds messed up, but I have been through so many cases where when I hire them people, it's on me. So if those people don't do their job, the company doesn't go look at the people. They come look at the recruiting company that brought them. And see, when I was recruiting black people, they would look at me and say, well, that's a brother, so I can call in late that day, and he's going to be straight. He's going to help a brother out. So they were treating...
I know what you're saying, because I was in that situation when I helped somebody get a job. And I'm like, whoa. Mm-hmm. I mean, the things she was doing made me look bad.
Yep.
And
what happens is they look at you, and it's like a basketball coach, Byron Scott. He just got fired today. He was coach of the New Orleans Hornets. He said it's hard to coach black players being a black coach than it is for white players being white coaches. And they asked him why. He said, well, because the black players don't respect other black coaches because they'll look at them as, how dare you tell me something. But we're so used to being told something by the white man, it's normal.
Yeah.
And so when I was hiring people, there would be people who I'd get a job. I'd get my homeboy a job, and a week later he telling me, you know, man, I got vacation time. I got to be out of town for a week. Dude, you just been here a week.
but you know what? Our parents do that. I just had a conversation like this where I don't know about your parents, but for me growing up, let's say my mother was taking us to the doctor's office and the doctor is white. Well, we got dressed in our finest, and you better sit still. Don't you say nothing to that man. Just sit right here. And so she gave us an air that we're supposed to behave differently in front of white people. And so when you get older, you see a black person and you automatically, that's my bro, that's my sis. So I have to talk to her, I'm able to talk to her like we're common.
Yes.
I can be common with her, but I'm going to show this one the utmost respect. And I know what you mean about hiring, because I own a business as well, and I hired a Tamika. And I don't know if it has a lot to do with her name or not. I really don't know, more so than her being a black woman. And she would just kind of breeze in, be on her cell phone all day, texting all day. And when she saw me, it was, hey, girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually not, hey, girl, I'm Miss Richie. But it was, hey, you know. Well, I ended up firing her. But, yeah, I do understand. She ended up having to go.
And you're right. It is that way. On the last show that I did, me and my brother were talking back and forth, and it wasn't planned or anything. I told him I was asking about our mom. I said, whenever she first answered the phone, how does she answer the phone?
Oh, I heard that.
It's possible. Once she hears one of us, it literally changes.
back to the interview, like when people call me for an interview and they see my name, they're like, Mr. Richard Dean. I'm like, no, excuse me, it's Miss. They're like, oh.
Yeah.
But then when they see me, they're like, oh. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. I want to say I'm sorry to disappoint you, but yes, I'm black.
Mm-hmm.
But,
no,
you know,
I
don't sound black.
I've gotten at the interview. I've had people bring me in and say to me, oh, you don't look like a Thomas. And I know, and they catch themselves.
Oh, my.
Because when they see the name, one, it has lineage, and you rarely see black names with lineage, meaning I'm the third.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You don't normally see that. So it throws them off, and then when they bring me in, because I can put the white voice on with the best of them when I get on a phone call. So they get me in, and I'm just this chocolate dude.